When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Spectrum Internet has enough speed to handle all your needs, so you can work, game, and stream with speeds up to a gig. Plus, Spectrum's advanced Wi-Fi provides enhanced security for all your connected devices. Get Spectrum Internet with fast and reliable speeds, starting at just $29.99 a month with a 2-year price guarantee. Visit spectrum.com/internet for you for full details. Offer subject to change, valid for qualified residential customers only. Restrictions apply.
On this episode of Newt's World, this summer, Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm set out on a 4-day electric vehicle trip from Charlotte, North Carolina to Memphis, Tennessee, in an effort to draw attention to the billions of dollars the Biden administration is putting into green energy and clean cars. But when she and her entourage, including a luxury Cadillac Lyriq, an electric Ford F-150, and a Chevy Bolt, pulled into Grovetown, a suburb of Augusta, Georgia, for a quick charge of their vehicles at a station with 4 chargers, they quickly realized one of the chargers was broken and the rest were occupied. So an Energy Department staffer decided to park a gas-powered vehicle in one of the spots to hold it for the secretary, prompting a family in another EV car waiting to get charged to call the police. I think this whole episode is a great example of how the Biden administration thinks they're doing amazing things by pouring money in at the very top and then pushing the rest of America into buying EV cars when no chargers are publicly available. A point, by the way, which was made by the president of Ford, who tried a similar trip with an electric F-150. It's just one of many examples of how the Biden administration is trying to dictate to us, the American people, what we should buy. From cars, to appliances, to air conditioners, to fans, they're putting regulations on everything. Here to discuss this topic, I'm really pleased to welcome my guest, Ben Lieberman. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, recently served for 7 years as a senior counsel for the U.S. House Committee on Energy and Commerce. Ben, welcome and thank you for joining me on Newt's World.
Well, thank you for having me.
I have to say, if we could just start with Granholm, because it was such a perfectly stupid trip. This administration combines radicalism with total incompetence in ways that if you were writing fiction, you couldn't imagine. Granholm often put up a photo of New York City in 1900, full of horses and carriages with a single car. And then another slide, 13 years later, same street, all of those cars. And she says, can you spot the horse? She went on to say, things are happening fast. You're in the center of it. Imagine how big clean energy will be in 13 years, she told one audience in South Carolina. How much stronger our economy is going to grow. How many good-paying jobs are going to create and where we are going to lead the world. But if you actually look on the internet for the trip, it's remarkable how much of the national media reported the story of the police being called. After all, the media has done everything they can to protect and cover up for the Biden administration. They also point out there are only about 3 electric vehicle charging ports for every 10,000 people in the U.S. Imagine lining up for an electric charging port. So I'm curious, Ben, what's your whole reaction to the administration's push for electric cars and their desire to dictate to the American people what they can buy?
Well, imagine how you felt if you took a trip like that and you had to pay $50,000 for that vehicle rather than get to borrow a government vehicle. So you can imagine how people are feeling. And I think that's why electric vehicle sales may be showing signs of plateauing, that those people who can afford to experiment on an electric second or third or fourth car have bought them. Maybe a few more will buy them. But for the one-third of Americans for whom they are single vehicle households, can you really rely on that EV as that one go-to vehicle? What if you have to go somewhere when the vehicle's charging? What if you want to go on a long trip like Secretary Granholm did? It just isn't working out. And again, what really we need to focus on is consumer choice. The ultimate decision has to lie with the consumer. Central planning does not work. No two homes are alike, no two homeowners are alike, and we all know our own individualized circumstances and preferences better than any central planner. We have to think that when we look at these EV measures as well as appliance regulations.
Obviously, I agree with you, and I would note that only 6% of the vehicles sold today are electric vehicles. And that's with all the subsidies, all the effort. But the Biden team wants to require 60% of the vehicles sold in the U.S. to be battery-powered electric by 2030. That is literally 7 years from now. They want us to jump from 6% to 60% and to 67%, two out of every three vehicles, by 2032. Do you think that's at all likely to happen?
Well, there'll be a backlash at some point. It hasn't happened yet, but there certainly will be. It's important to note that not only are there the incentives, the carrots for EVs, but there's the sticks in the form of costly regulations that are going to make gasoline-powered vehicles more expensive and less desirable.
So in a sense, they're trying to coerce us by economically making it more expensive to buy what we want and cheaper to buy what we don't want.
That's the only way to get to these EV goals. It's not where consumers want to be if given their own choices.
Do you think that's why they're also sort of indifferent to the price of gasoline, that in a way, their model requires expensive gasoline to help drive us away from traditional vehicles?
Well, that's the dirty secret. And occasionally folks on the left let the cat out of the bag and say $4 or even $5 gallon gasoline is what we want. For example, there are two states in the U.S. right now where gasoline is $5 a gallon or higher, California and Washington State. Those are also the two states that have cap-and-trade programs applicable to gasoline, but nobody talks about those cap-and-trade programs as though they're the cause. So it's obviously the goal, obviously what's behind some of the increases in gasoline prices. And again, the goal is to make driving a gasoline-powered car so painful that EVs are a good option by comparison.
There are a lot of hidden games being played here. The Environmental Protection Agency estimates that the shift on heavy-duty vehicles will cost about $6 billion to the manufacturers, and that the cost for a buyer for a new heavy-duty zero-emission vehicle is somewhere between $900 and $11,000 more in upfront cost than for a conventional vehicle. I mean, isn't this an extraordinary amount of money to be throwing at the system?
Well, it's an extraordinary amount of money, and we hope at some point it will stop, but no sign of that just yet.
If anything, it seems to me that the left is doubling and tripling down on their vision of the world and on what they think of the problems. And yet, I saw some study that if we went to an all-electric system, which, of course, requires either coal plants or nuclear plants or, again, natural gas, because you're not going to get enough solar and enough wind for the scale of electricity they're now talking about. And I think it's in one state, they now have a law that the state can actually turn off your vehicle or actually take electricity back from it. So you could plug in your car, and if the state decides that the grid needs the electricity, they can actually be discharging your, as opposed to charging your car, they can be discharging your car into the state's electric system. Isn't this all likely to become a pretty big mess?
Oh, absolutely. We're putting all of our eggs in the electricity basket. At the same time, we're making it harder than ever to produce electricity. So again, there's a lot of very, very scary trends in the years ahead.
When you study this, you make the point that almost all the households that buy electric vehicles actually have another car, and only about 10% of the households have one car and it's an electric vehicle. Do you have any sense or any information on what the effect is on those one-car households of having an electric vehicle? I mean, are they fairly well restricted to driving it around their city? I mean, can they go on long trips? And how complicated is it to plan a long trip with an electric vehicle?
That's why electric vehicles are not the popular choice of those who have to rely on only one car. There's limits on long trips, as Secretary Granholm has learned. There's also the problem that you can't go anywhere when the vehicle is charging. There's a lot of limitations to electric vehicles. And sure, I'll consider electric vehicle once the prices come down and once the inconveniences are better addressed. But we're nowhere near that point yet. And I would almost go so far as to say that EVs are still a luxury good. You can rely on them when you have another gasoline-powered car that you can use at any time. But if you don't, you really just can't make the EV that one go-to vehicle.
I mean, you make the point. I think 90% of electric vehicle owners have a gasoline or diesel-powered vehicle as well. Even the sales numbers are a little bit misleading because, in fact, very few people are willing to rely solely on electric vehicle at this stage.
And I think most of the people that do are well-heeled urbanites that just think that EVs are the latest thing. So very few people who actually really need a car have made an EV that car that they rely on.
Well, I should point out, by the way, that I have an electric vehicle, which I plug in every night, and it's called a golf cart. It works just fine, but I'm not sure I'm about to jump into another one, although I do have a little stock in Tesla, so I have a big interest in electric vehicles, at least the Elon Musk versions.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, this is Newt. In my new book, March the Majority, The Real Story of the Republican Revolution, I offer strategies and insights for everyday citizens and for seasoned politicians. It's both a guide for political success and for winning back the majority in 2024. March to the Majority outlines the 16-year campaign to write the contract with America, explains how we elected the first Republican House majority in 40 years, and how we worked with President Bill Clinton to pass major reforms, including 4 consecutive balanced budgets. March to the Majority tells the behind-the-scenes story of how we got it done. Here's a special offer for my podcast listeners. You can order March to the Majority right now at Gingrich360.com/book, and it'll be shipped directly to you. Don't miss out on this special offer. Go to Gingrich360.com/book and order your copy now. Order it today at Gingrich360.com/book. You know, what's interesting is they're not just trying to coerce us about our cars. They're also looking at our whole house and trying to force us to change. Do you want to talk a little bit about this whole psychological attitude they have, which apparently is across the entire Biden administration, that it's okay to force Americans to change by just changing the regulations so we have no consumer choices?
Well, it all started in January when a Biden administration official at the Consumer Product Safety Commission let the cat out of the bag and said that banning gas stoves is a real possibility. That led to a very, very powerful consumer backlash and administration denials that they would ever do such a thing. But they very much were doing such a thing and have continued to do so. And the only thing that's happened since those administration denials is that the Department of Energy has launched regulations, proposed regulations, not just against stoves, but refrigerators, clothes washers, dishwashers, water heaters, furnaces, ceiling fans, you name it, just about anything around the house that either plugs in or fires up is subject to new regulations that could boost the price of these appliances, compromise product performance, and sort of steer us from one version to a more politically correct version, as is the case with gas stoves versus electric stoves, which for some reason, electric stoves are the more popular choice among environmentalists. Not that that particularly makes any sense, but in any event, the government is using regulations to force us in one direction.
If you changed every gas stove in the country to electricity, which of course means somewhere there's a plant making electricity, what is the net gain? With all of this change, all this expense, I saw one study where the Department of Energy looked at 21 different current gas stoves and concluded 20 of them wouldn't comply. I mean, putting companies out of business, you know, putting assembly workers out of business, what's the net gain in the environment for changing over from gas to electricity?
Little and maybe even negative. And I would point out that even the Department of Energy admits that natural gas is 3 times cheaper on a per unit energy basis. So that's what we'd be giving up by moving to electricity. The fantasy is that we'll move everyone to electricity and then electricity will be generated by wind and solar. But that's just not the reality. Right now, 60% of electricity is generated by natural gas or coal. And because of things like line losses between the power plant and your home, it's much more efficient to use natural gas directly to power your furnace or your water heater or your stove. But I think, as you mentioned, this has a lot more to do with control. And one thing that a number of environmental activists have been pushing in recent years is this electrification agenda, forcing residences to only rely on electricity and not have that choice between electricity and natural gas. Why do they hate natural gas? Well, it's a fossil fuel. So this is all part of the climate agenda.
Why do these people want to force all of us onto an electric grid? What's their reasoning that it has to be all electric?
The reasoning from their perspective is that this could lead to greenhouse gas emissions reductions, but it's just not realistic. But the goal here is climate policy.
They want to come in, having told you what kind of car you can have, they now want to come in and tell you what kind of stove you can have. And if you think about it, like for small businesses, for small restaurants or what have you, this goes to the heart of why the Biden administration is not affordable. It's both inflation, but it's also regulation driven on affordability. It seems to me that they don't understand that all of these things add cost, and added cost limits choices and lowers the quality of life for the average American. I mean, am I missing something here?
Well, you're trying to read too much logic into the environmental movement and the Biden administration. They think that this needs to be done to save the planet. I would argue that I think the whole idea that switching stoves is necessary to save us all is so ridiculous. I think that was part of how powerful the consumer backlash was, that I think the American people are starting to realize that the climate agenda is starting to be misused just for purposes of controlling our lives and not in any rational way of trying to reduce emissions.
So when you talk about stoves, I mean, the next thing that they're going after now is dishwashers. What's the logic there?
trying to save the planet by forcing less use of electricity. Dishwashers have already been regulated four times. They've already been overregulated, I should say. Because of these regulations, dishwashers take about 2 hours to finish a load of dishes rather than 1 hour. So the inconvenience is well in excess of any savings. But now with these proposed rules, that would crack down even further on energy and water use from dishwashers and even add further to the inconvenience. It's also been the case that dishwashers don't clean dishes as well as they used to. So there's increased incidence of people having to rinse dishes before or after, which undercuts the whole purpose of trying to save on resources.
In order to reduce water consumption, they have extended the length of time, I think doubled from 1 to 2 hours it takes to wash the dishes. So I presume that actually means an increased energy use by the dishwasher, since it's now twice as long, but it has less water. So the side that's saving water is happy, and the side that's saving energy hasn't noticed yet that this is exactly the opposite of what they're trying to do.
Well, they do use less energy. They just have to take longer to clean the dishes because the water's not as hot as it was before, so it takes longer to do the dishes. But the savings are in the dollar or less per year range, very, very trivial, and the inconvenience is much greater than that. And again, if you have to wash the dishes before or afterwards, you're really now in negative territory.
Okay, so you may have to actually wash the dishes you put in the dishwasher because the dishwasher can't wash. This is sort of perfect Joe Biden model. The dishwasher actually can't wash the dishes, so you have to wash the dishes, and then you get to put them in the dishwasher already pretty clean because you can't trust the dishwasher to wash it. Do I have that sort of right?
Yeah, because of their crazy economic assumptions, we end up with appliances that don't do the job. It's crazy.
We went through a cycle of this with toilets under Jimmy Carter, where they decided they would lower the amount of water to such a degree that people then had to flush two or three times, thereby ending up using more water than they used to use. It's interesting to watch these guys. It's like they're playing tic-tac-toe in a world of chess. So, okay, moving on now. From gas stoves and dishwashers, they're not satisfied there. They're now also paying attention to gas furnaces. Can you explain a little bit of what they're trying to do there?
Well, as with the stoves, furnaces come in natural gas and electric versions, and the efficiency standards would skew the market away from gas, which is three times cheaper on a per unit energy basis, towards electricity. Again, poorly thought out attempt to fight climate change. For consumers, it means fewer choices. Yes, electric heat may work perfectly well. Heat pumps may work perfectly well for some homes, but no two homes are exactly alike. No two homeowners are exactly alike. And we all know our own individualized circumstances and preferences better than any DOE bureaucrat. And so the best thing for consumers is wide choices so that we can pick the best heating system for our homes. These regulations force us into a narrower range of choices, and especially towards electric heat rather than gas heat.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker.
$50 off now until Father's Day. Visit BARTESIAN.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What strikes me is that all of these changes that raise costs hurt the poor. The poor have less ability to pay for all these different new things that the government regulators want to impose on them. So they actually have a lower standard of living based on the government forcing them into higher and higher costs for everything they want to do, which you would think is the opposite of what old-time liberals used to worry about the poor.
Bad regulations are almost always worse on the poor who can afford them the least. I will say the Department of Energy does address this with all the sensitivity of Marie Antoinette. They essentially say, well, poor people are renters. It doesn't affect them, which is, of course, nonsense. But you're absolutely right. This disproportionately hurts the poor people who struggle to pay their energy bills. It also makes it harder for people who aspire to own a home. All these more expensive appliances raise home prices, and that's the last thing we need.
Yeah, I was going to say, and frankly, if you're renting, if the price goes up for the landlord, sooner or later it's going to increase your rent. And it's not like there's this magic zone here. Unlike the federal government, which just keeps borrowing and just passed $33 trillion in national debt, the average person can't actually do that. Now, they've also turned towards air conditioners. And EPA apparently is now busily working on air conditioners. Can you explain what that's all about?
Well, the challenge for air conditioners is they suffer the 1-2 punch of EPA regulations and DOE, Department of Energy regulations. Efficiency standards for central air conditioners that took effect on January 1st of this year have raised the cost of a new central air conditioner by $1,000 or in some cases even $1,500. I talked to an air conditioner installer in Georgia. The regulations are extra tough on southern states than northern states, and he says that installations are about $1,000 to $1,500 more. So that's Department of Energy regulations. There's also Environmental Protection Agency regulations targeting the refrigerants used in many of these air conditioners because, well, you can probably guess, because those refrigerants are blamed as contributors to climate change, that they're greenhouse gases. So we're going after them as well. I would predict that just as gas stoves were the big consumer backlash in 2023, I would predict that air conditioner costs starting next summer, summer 2024, that might be the next big backlash because the confluence of all these regulations is really jacking up not just the cost of repairing an existing system, but even more so the cost of buying a new system.
They're also looking at washing machines for your clothing. Is this parallel to the other argument?
Oh, very much so. And in fact, my organization, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, filed regulatory comments with the Department of Energy on its proposed clothes washer rule. We did those in conjunction with a repairman named Mike Menino out of Florida, who has been repairing clothes washers for decades, remembers what they were like before these regulations, has to deal with them after these regulations, and says the difference is night and day. They don't work as well. They don't clean as well. They don't last as long. They're tougher to repair. There's even instances, quite a few, of homeowners who dump a bucket of water into their clothes washer or bring in the garden hose from outside to squirt in more water because the water use levels are too low to get the job done. It's laughable, but you know, this is America. Why can't we get a clothes washer that works? And once again, the Department of Energy, rather than trying to fix past mistakes that have led to problematic clothes washers, they're doubling down with another round of regulatory restrictions that would crack down even further, partially in the name of climate change benefits.
One analysis said that the greatest regulation will probably raise the cost by about $150 to buy it, but you'll save $7 a year. So if you keep the washing machine for a minimum of 25 years, you'll break even. Now, if you're relatively poor, you don't think in terms of amortizing something over a 25-year period. You worry about the initial cost.
Well, I guess it's an incentive to live longer, but these payback periods, the time it takes to earn back the higher upfront costs in terms of savings, it gets to be so long, then they don't apply to most people. I mean, people move. You're not likely to be in that residence all that time. You may not want to keep that appliance. You may want to move to a different appliance. It just doesn't make sense if the savings take that long before you get back to zero.
If we could go back to sort of the core failure to have a serious systematic analysis, when you talk about an electronic vehicle car, you're also talking about batteries. And when you're talking about batteries, you're talking about mining. And in fact, their estimates of the volume of dirt you have to move to make a lithium battery is astonishing. So when you look at the total cost, which nobody does, I mean, this would be, I think, a very helpful series of congressional hearings to say, let's look at the total cost from creating the battery, creating the car, creating the electricity, building the infrastructure. My guess is we would find that this is a staggeringly expensive adventure that people have us off on, and that it is one of the biggest misallocations of resources, because it's hard to argue that the totality of energy needed to do the mining in any way is going to be offset by what you save in energy by having an electric vehicle. That the total energy cost of an electric vehicle is probably greater than the energy cost of a traditional vehicle because of all of the additional rare minerals and massive investment of mining that's required. What am I missing here?
You're not missing anything. Economists call these substitution risks. I think Thomas Sowell put it best. He said there are always trade-offs involved. Yes, gasoline-powered vehicles have tailpipe emissions, but when you compare to the reality of the wherewithal, as you mentioned, to make an electric vehicle battery, it's very, very questionable whether you're doing any good environmentally. You're certainly not doing any good geopolitically, given how much oil is now in the United States, thanks to the fracking revolution, compared to all of the minerals that will have to be produced and refined elsewhere, because we're not doing that in the United States. There's a number of issues with electric vehicle batteries. It's important to note that even from a greenhouse gas emissions standpoint, they start out in the hole. It costs more in energy to make an EV than it does to roll a gasoline-powered vehicle off the assembly line. Presumably, you save with use, but again, that could take a long time. You're starting in the hole economically. They cost more. The sticker prices are higher. But you're also starting in the hole environmentally, because there's a lot that goes into producing an electric vehicle that has an environmental impact. None of this has been thought through very well.
Kevin Dyaratna at Heritage studied, for example, the gas stove regulation and said that the amount of savings that the APA is projecting by going to this change would actually amount in terms of temperature change, if you believe the current temperature change models, would be 4/10,000th of 1% to a high of 9/10,000ths. This is not 9%. This is 9/10,000ths of 1%. Now, these are the kind of things that I think verge on idiotic. And I noticed that you brought a real sense of boldness, shining light on the program when you testified on September 22nd, 2021. And you just came straight out and said, we ought to really consider sunsetting all of these household appliance regulatory programs. Would you expand on that?
Well, the problem with these agencies, and especially agencies that are authorized to revisit these regulations, is that it's in their institutional interest to keep on regulating and regulating. And in fact, for a lot of these home appliances, we're literally on the third, fourth, fifth, sometimes sixth round of increasingly tighter standards with diminishing or non-existent marginal returns and rising costs. and there's no end in sight. And now climate change has been used as the latest excuse for an even additional round of regulations. There's no good government solution to these regulatory agencies. I know for a long time people have searched for one. I think you just have to take away the authority and put that power back in the hands of consumers, back in the hands of the American people. I really don't think there's any really good solution except to stop these appliance regulations. You know, there are some reforms that would be helpful in legislation that would do that. But I think the ultimate solution is to take this power out of the hands of Washington regulators.
I mean, isn't the problem that we've shifted to a bureaucratic state where the elected officials actually delegate such huge amounts of power? All this comes down to random human beings. It's not like there's some magic here. Somebody somewhere got hired. They have a job. They very often move into a particular zone because they want to control the American people, and they have a particular bias about controlling them. And somehow we have to really rethink the whole administrative state as a model, because it takes you away from Lincoln's concept of government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and instead moves you into a model of government of the elites, by the elites, and for the elites, at the enormous expense of the American people. So I really appreciate the work you're doing and the way you've approached it. And I thought, given the topics we're talking about today, we are right in people's lives. And I think the work you're doing is really important, Ben. I want to thank you for joining me and for helping us understand these regulations in more detail and why they're creating a system that forces the American people to buy what government insists that we buy, not what we want. It's an extraordinary time. And Ben, I appreciate your commitment and the work you're doing and the courage you're showing.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you to my guest, Ben Lieberman. You can learn more about the Biden administration's electric vehicle and appliance regulations on our show page at NewsWorld.com. NewsWorld is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Garnsey Sloan, and our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Pendley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. If you've been enjoying NewsWorld, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Right now, listeners of NewsWorld can sign up for my 3 free weekly columns at gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is NewsWorld.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better, your TV is.